Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The text for our message is Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Dear friends, today we conclude the celebration of Christmas as we transfer or sort of segue into the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a season of discovery as we discover who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The origin of the word Epiphany, the name Epiphany, is Greek, literally epiphanos, the idea which has of being unveiled or revealed. It's captured in the old English word manifest, something that is hidden that is now being made more clear. Of course, the traditional players in the Epiphany story are the Magi of Matthew, wise men, astronomers, or even magicians who come probably from modern-day Iran to visit the infant Jesus. They bring their costly gifts, gold and incense, and they bow down and worship the king. And in that story, we find the fulfillment of the prophecy that Gentiles will come, that nations will worship the newborn Savior King. Today, as we begin our look at the Gospel of Mark, we're going to continue this until the Easter season, reading somewhat sequentially right up to the resurrection account of our Lord. Compared to the other Gospels, you might already know, Mark is quite short, only 16 chapters. Mark is oftentimes categorized as the gospel of action, as you almost always see Jesus moving from one place to another, and especially in the first couple of chapters, immediately is one of Mark's favorite words. You might notice that immediately there's no Christmas story in Mark. There's no Mary and Joseph, no wise men, no manger. Mary doesn't even show up in the gospel account until chapter 6. And Mark is unique among the Gospels in that it never mentions Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. Without the other Gospels, we never would have known his name. Mark's Christmas story is likewise abbreviated. It goes something like this. Hey everybody, look! Jesus is here! This is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What kind of a beginning is this? Is it like other beginnings that we oftentimes celebrate? Is this kind of like the beginning of a new year? This past Tuesday, we observed a new year, 2020, with great celebration, parties and gatherings and retrospectives and even fireworks in some places. A new year is a new point of reference. It's a new chance to balance the books, to start over with something of a clean slate. Perhaps it's a time to make new resolutions, new promises, new kind of way of looking at things. Maybe your resolution was to eat less or to exercise more or to spend less money or to spend more time with your family. New beginnings can be good. They can be helpful. It's good to hit the reset button every once in a while. But sometimes I wonder if we really understand what kind of a beginning Mark is sharing with us. What kind of a beginning is this not? Well, this is not a new way for God to interact with people. Sometimes folks misunderstand this. They pit the New Testament against the Old Testament. The God of the New Testament is in some ways different than the God of the Old Testament. In the second century, a well-known heretic named Marcion decided that the church didn't really need the Old Testament at all. The Old Testament, he thought, gave the story of a God of violence and wrath, and the New Testament was a God of grace and mercy. And he went full whole hog in on the new, even going to the point of eliminating particular chapters, verses, and even gospel accounts from the Holy Scriptures, trying to, in his way of looking at it, purge the God of wrath from the God of the New Testament. And he was rightly chastised by the church, and very fortunately, his views did not carry over, except I think sometimes we have this sense that the New Testament must be more important than the Old. That in some ways the New Testament makes the Old Testament somehow old and outdated and replaceable. But the New Testament doesn't make the Old Testament irrelevant. Augustine, who grew up a Marcionite, once made the observation, the New Testament is hidden in the Old. The Old Testament is revealed in the New. And so in some ways, the New Testament is the epiphany of the story of God. It's a story that was always there, but now is seen in all of its clarity and fullness. God has always been a God of grace and mercy. He's always desired that all people come to the knowledge of the truth. He's always been about bringing the entire world into a right relationship with himself. The God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. And unlike a new year, which we celebrate about every 365 days, this is a cosmic, life-changing, amazing, important beginning. What makes this beginning important is Jesus. Mark tells us that this is the beginning of the gospel, the good news. And that word has the sense that a message of hope and a promise is being delivered to a people who are waiting. The gospel is good news, that God himself is entering this world with a goal of reconciling the world to himself. He has seen his people in their lost and broken condition, and he's willing to reach into their world personally and act decisively to bring harmony, peace, and life to people who are trapped in the darkness of sin and death. Our world has a lot of people who are living in the darkness of sin and death. We live also in a world that appears at times to be covered with darkness. Our culture attempts to deny sin and all of the corruption that it brings. We try and minimize our fallen nature and excuse away our bad behaviors. We sometimes imagine that our best efforts and our good intentions will wash away all of our mistakes and our failures. But how many of our New Year's resolutions are exactly the same as they were last year? How many of our fulfilled resolutions have ultimately fixed all of our problems or made our life demonstrably better? Perhaps some, but we still see all kinds of problems in our world, and if we're honest, even in our own lives. Our best efforts don't save us. Our human wisdom or our religious ceremonies can't fix our ultimate problem. Mark tells us we need good news, and it has to come from outside of us. It has to come from above. Only God can fix us. Only God can save us. Mark tells us that this new beginning has everything to do with Jesus Christ. The name Jesus, of course, means Savior. Joseph and Mary were told to call him that because he would save his people from their sins. Many children were named Jesus in New Testament times, but only one Jesus lived a perfect life for you, and only one Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for you. He is the Christ, the Messiah, a title for the promised one of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Messiah is one who is anointed and set apart for service, anointed for a particular purpose or mission. The Old Testament people looked forward to the coming of this Messiah. He was the one who would reveal God's kingdom and be that wonderful counselor, that everlasting Father, that Prince of Peace. This Messiah is the Son of God, who enters creation with the mission of redeeming and restoring it. And ultimately, his story is the ultimate good news. God in the flesh, revealed in the glory of the cross and the empty tomb. And through faith in him, we approach God with freedom and with confidence. God is for us. Truly, he has saved us. We have the hope of eternal life. We are given the privilege of being part of his people, the New Testament church, to live courageously as his people and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're called to be agents of redemption in a world that is perishing, light in the midst of darkness, as we reflect the glory of the one who is our Savior. And so Mark will continue to tell his story as we continue to study his gospel. We'll see in the next weeks how Jesus opens our eyes to what God is doing and helps us to understand the nature and purpose of God's kingdom. He will reveal or give us an epiphany of just what exactly the Son of God is up to in the midst of our fallen world. It will be an exciting story. We'll learn together. The new year is a good time for beginnings. It's a good time to make resolutions. Maybe this year your resolution will be to pray for someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus. Or maybe your resolution will be to study God's word in greater detail. Or perhaps it will be to look at your life and your priorities and make some changes that will bring blessings to others. Today is a time for beginnings. And as we study, Mark will help us to understand in even greater detail this gospel of Jesus Christ, this beginning of the good news of our Savior. May he bless and strengthen our faith in this new year. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now worship our Lord.